Today. We are in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 9. We're in the Old Testament. And we have some good old time religion, some good old theology here of God's love for us in kindness today. And I'm really excited. When I was studying this passage, this chapter in 9, at first I thought about some of these names like Mephibosheth. And I'm going to tell you something, it took me an entire week just to be able to pronounce that name, Mephibosheth. Now you say that 10 times and you'll get tongue twisted, I guarantee you. Try to say it 3 times, you're going to get tongue twisted. But I really had just a good time of studying in God's Word in this chapter and about kindness. And you know, the world has many perspectives on what kindness means. So I'm going to read this chapter. And if you kids will just bear with me here, we'll get through this here. And in chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, I want us to understand something before we read this text. And that is, David's kindness was not based upon what he could get in return. He only wanted to honor his promise by showing the love of God. And we're going to be talking about the love of God and kindness today. And I say that because what's important for us to recognize about kindness is that we're reminded how God's love is not based on what he can get from us. He too honors his own promise and his love for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So we're going to see 4 characteristics of kindness today. And I'm going to read the text here this morning. And David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David, and David said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I'm your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" You might want to underline that, star that, highlight that. That is key to this particular chapter 9, the kindness of God. Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel at Lodavar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir to the son of Amiel at Lodavar, and Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and bring him in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, see, I told you it wasn't easy, your master's grandson shall always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a son, young son, whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now, he was lame in both feet. We see here 4 characteristics of kindness and the kindness of God. The first characteristic I want us to see is that there is kindness is remembered through integrity, a commitment. Now, You may not remember that, and children, maybe you know that, what does the Bible teach us about kindness? What did Jesus say? Well, be kind unto others because, what's the golden rule?
Love one another.
As Christ has loved us. So we're in the golden rule is be kind unto one another, right? As you want them to be what? Kind to you, right? And so oftentimes in kindness, what we think about kindness is that it is this reciprocal thing. Reciprocal. If I was to go out one morning and to buy you a cup of coffee, and maybe you saw me at the coffee shop the next morning, you might want to buy me a cup of coffee. And I might say, well, that's kind. Or if I was buying you a cup of coffee just because you bought me coffee the day before, well, that's kind. Well, that is kind, but more than likely, that's just reciprocal. It's a kind act, but it's not authentic kindness. Here, David is kind because of his integrity. He remembers, he goes to the house of Saul to show the kindness of God, because why? He had honored his commitment to Jonathan. Now, David has enjoyed all this prosperity. And in fact, in earlier in chapter 8, it says, and the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. He had enjoyed all this prosperity, all these military victories. He was the king and things were really going just fantastic for him. Great. You know what I mean? Sometimes when people get things going so good and their life becomes so prosperous, they become so famous, sometimes people tell the famous people, well, remember me when you become famous. Mm-hmm. Because it's easy sometimes when people become established power or influence or wealth that it's easy to forget some of the people of the past. Well, David doesn't forget his past. He remembers his solemn oath that he had made with Jonathan, and when Jonathan knew that David's enemies were against him and his own father Saul was against him, and he told them, he made a promise, he said, remember me. And David had this covenant with Jonathan. And so now David is remembering that. And so he's going back to show the kindness for Jonathan's sake, but it is the kindness of God, because David is remembered his kindness through integrity, his own commitment. And we see this in 1 Samuel chapter 20. I'm just going to read this covenant that David had made with him. If I am still alive, show me steadfast love of the Lord, that I may not die. And do not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever. For when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth, and Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord take vengeance on David's enemies. And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. So David's kindness is from his integrity. Despite of the success that he has, he still does not want to forget about his commitment to Jonathan. The second thing I want us to see is that kindness is not always convenient. You know what I mean by kindness is not always convenient? Sometimes it's inconvenient. It's kind of like when someone says, hey, could you give me a ride to the doctor's office? Okay. And then you give him a ride to the doctor's office and, hey, could we stop at the grocery store? I need to make one more errand. Would you mind if we just... Kindness is not always convenient. Now, why do I say that? David's convenience to Mephibosheth was not convenient. He didn't live in Jerusalem. No, he lived in Lodavar. And that's not exactly down the street from Jerusalem. It was quite a ways to the north part of the country, up near Galilee, across the Jordan. He has to search out Mephibosheth. He has to find where he is. And so he takes this path to finding out and fulfilling his commitment. His kindness was not convenient. And authentic kindness is not always convenient for us. You know, it is mostly in the time. What is the most precious and valuable thing probably that you have in life besides a relationship with the Lord? Your time. You know, if you don't think your time is valuable, just wait till someone asks you for some of it. I promise you recognize how precious time is then. And so kindness is not always convenient. In fact, more often than not, kindness is inconvenient for you. It's convenient for the other person that's getting it, but it's not convenient for you. And the time required might mean spending more time for the action than you previously thought. You know, you wanted to do something for somebody, and they just added a little bit more on top of that, you know. And when you do that, that's kindness. That's the kindness that's not convenient. David had to search out who Mephibosheth was and where he was. And I want us to see something here in verse 3. And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul, listen, that I may show the kindness of God?" Any of y'all hear the word or the phrase today, pay it forward? Mm-hmm. Do something nice. You go through the pay toll, pay for the person behind you, pay it forward. You're in the coffee shop. Well, I'm always talking about coffee. I guess I like coffee so much. You know, buy the person behind you a cup of coffee, pay it forward. Well, that is kind. But here he says, show the kindness of God. What does he mean by the kindness of God? Here in this particular area, we have to understand too that kindness is a sacrifice. You see, because if you pay something forward, you're expecting something. Maybe not for yourself, but you might be expecting something to happen. And so if you pay it forward and you do something from the person behind you in the line, then you're doing that in hopes that they'll do something kind. Well, that's a good act. I'm not discouraging that. But that's not what we're talking about, the kindness of God here. We're talking about the kindness that comes from understanding God's love for all of us. Because we were all made in the image of God. And I'm going to speak a lot more to that here in just a little bit. The third thing I want us to see this morning is that kindness holds no record of the past. Kindness holds no record of the past. In other words, it doesn't hold an accounting. You've done this. I've taken you to Sunday school for the last 10 years. I have cut your grass every time your husband was out of town. I babysat your kids. Kindness holds no record of the past. Look here with me in verses 6 and 7. I'm going to look at this text. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. Now, who was Mephibosheth? He was the son of Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, from the house of Saul. Mephibosheth's daddy, was the enemy of King David. Saul tried to kill David on many times of pursuit. Now, David knows that. He knows who Mephibosheth is now. And so Mephibosheth comes to David and he bows before the king. It says he pays a homage. It's almost like in a way that he's worshiping. I mean, he's just fallen on his face before King David. Well, you have to understand in the ancient Eastern times here in this period that if you were a king of a ruling family and you succeeded a previous ruling family, you didn't just say, well, I'm in charge now and you guys just go on about your business. No, more than likely you would kill that person or you would kill that family. You just take them out. Why? So they couldn't overthrow your rulership or your kingdom anymore. Certainly didn't happen here. David shows that kindness. Now Mephibosheth comes to him. Mephibosheth knows very well that it would be common for David to have executed him. But he doesn't. Why? Kindness holds no record of the past. David is not remembering about what his grandfather had done, or the family, or the house of Saul had done to David. He holds no record of the past here. Aren't you glad? Because God holds no record of our past. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5a, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So the king here holds no record of the past. Now, I am beginning to introduce, to get you to see a picture here of the love that the king has for Mephibosheth. But I want you to understand there is the King of Kings who shows love for all of us. And you'll see some of the same parallels here in this particular passage. Mephibosheth comes to David and he bows before him. And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan." He remembers his covenant. He holds no grudges against him for his family's sake or against him. And he tells him, "You shall always eat at my table, always." This kindness was not convenient for David. Now he's got to bring someone into his own household and he's got to feed him for the rest of his life in Jerusalem. He has to house him. He has to feed him. He's got a responsibility. The kindness that he is now showing Mephibosheth not only does not show a record of the past, the bad blood between him and the house of Saul, but because of his commitment, but also because kindness is not always convenient. Do you see what's happening here? What's happening with David and Mephibosheth, and how David is seeing Mephibosheth not just as a former prince of the northern kingdom of Israel. David sees him as a child of God. We need to remember that too this morning and today when we show kindness to other people as well. Maybe it's your neighbor next door. And it is oftentimes in the most simplest acts of kindness. But the fourth characteristic I want us to see this morning is that kindness does not seek a return. Kindness does not seek a return. I give you something, you give me something. That's not kindness. That's reciprocating. Look with me now, if you will, here as we continue to look through this text. Verse 11, Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's son, and Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. Now that's not Micah the prophet in the Old Testament. That Micah was prophesied about almost 300 years later. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. But I want us to see something here. Kindness does not seek a return. And it says here at the very end of this text, now he was lame in both his feet. Now that's the second time we have heard that in this passage about Mephibosheth, that Mephibosheth was crippled. He was lame. What happened is that when Mephibosheth was a baby, he was about 5 years old, when his father Jonathan was killed in battle with Saul, his nurse took him to flee to safety. Well, when she took Mephibosheth, she dropped him, and he was injured, and he was crippled for life. So in the beginning of this passage, it says Mephibosheth was crippled. He was lame in both feet. But it says it again in verse 13. Why? Why is that important for us to understand? Mephibosheth can't go work for David. He can't work in his house. He can't go work in the fields. He can't go be a soldier. So what good is he to David? It doesn't matter. Because kindness does not seek a return. So what we see here in Mephibosheth is there is nothing David's going to get out of him. Okay? He's going to bring him into his house. He's going to let him eat at his table for the rest of his life. He's not expecting anything from Mephibosheth. David is just showing him the kindness of God. You know, I say that because in kindness, it's not always easy, is it? And you know, when I spoke about kindness this morning, I talk about sometimes that we reciprocate things for people. But Jesus spoke about that, and he said in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:46, he says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" What's Jesus saying there? That's what the world does. You're not the world, and you're not of the world. We're to love others and to show kindness, just as Christ has shown kindness to us. Just as the king has shown kindness to Mephibosheth, the King of Kings has shown kindness to all of us. Who is the Mephibosheth today? You are. You're Mephibosheth. Children, you're Mephibosheth. Everyone. Ladies, men, you're Mephibosheth. Now, what do I mean by that? The king showed the kindness of God to Mephibosheth because he honored a commitment. Last week, we spoke about the eternal promises of God. God is a promise-keeping God. He is a covenant-keeping God. All the way back to the patriarchs, and we looked at that into the Abrahamic covenant, that he would come to all nations and give them a land and a special relationship. You're Mephibosheth. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to fulfill his commitment, his covenant, and his promise, and his love to you. Amen. You're Mephibosheth. And was it convenient for God to send his son Jesus to you? God humbled himself and incarnated himself as a child and walked among men humbly. And he served. And he died on a cross for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Was that convenient for God the Father? Was that just something that was easy for him to do? In Jesus coming here and he sat on the cross, and then he spoke, and next to him were two thieves. One of them railed him and rebuked him, and the other one said, "Forgive me." And Jesus said, "I promise you today you'll be with me in paradise." So God's kindness to all of us is fulfilled because of his own promise, because of his integrity, because of his commitment, because of his promises, because of his love to us. And it was not convenient for God to give his one and only Son to us. And in that moment when Christ died on the cross and all the sins were paid, past, present, and future, for all of us, God knew what you did yesterday. He knew what you did the day before. And he knows what you're going to do tomorrow. But God demonstrates his own love for us that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Why? The same kindness that David showed to Mephibosheth, the same kindness God shows us through his son, Jesus Christ. He holds no record of our sins. He holds no record of the past. Listen, God's less concerned about our past. He's more concerned about your future. And that is the love that the king showed for Mephibosheth. That is the same love that God the Father shows us through his son, Jesus Christ. Why? Kindness does not seek a return. I'm reminded also in Micah 6:8, and the prophet Micah, not this Micah, the son of Mephibosheth, he said in Micah 6:8, God spoke through him and he said, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, sometimes we reap kindness because we sowed a little bit of it. There's an anonymous poet who wrote this poem, and he said, "I have wept in the night for the shortness of sight that to somebody's need made me blind. But I have never have yet felt the twinge of regret for being a little too kind." Never, ever think that an act of kindness is too small, too little. There's a true story about a man and his son, Joe and Jared, whereas the father and son, and they were out playing catch in the backyard one day. Dad was throwing him the ball, and son was catching it, and the son thought to himself, the son was 8 years old, and he turned to his dad, and he stopped, and he says, "Dad, do you think there's a God?" And you know, that was one of those moments that it was pretty important to Dad, and he said, and you know what his father said? He said, "Well, I don't know. I only went to church a couple times as a kid." So the little boy said, "Well, hold on a minute." So the little boy ran inside and he came back out with an index card and a pen and a helium balloon that he got at the circus. And he said, "I'm going to send an airmail question to God." So the little boy wrote on this index card and he said, "God, if you're real, will you send someone to me and Dad to reveal yourself to us, or to show yourself to us?" And his father thought about that for a moment. He says, "God, let that be our prayer." Now, this man really didn't know himself, but he allowed his son. So the little boy wrote this note down, tied it to the string to the helium balloon, and sent the airmail message up to God. Well, about 2 days later, it was the weekend, and the father and son went to a car wash. And so the father pulled up to the car wash, and as he rolled down the window, he asked the attendant there, and he said, "What's the cost?" And the person at the car wash said, "Well, it's free. We're with the church here, and we're doing a ministry, and so we're just, you know, we're offering the car washes." And he said, "You mean the car wash is free?" He said, "Why?" He said, "Well, we just want to show the kindness of God in a practical way." And so the father said, "You mean you're the Christians that believe in the kindness of God?" And the man said, well, yes, we are." And true story, this man was actually, who was running this car wash, was the pastor of this small church. And he got to share the plan of salvation with his father and his son. And true story, they both got saved that day. But it was a simple act of kindness that this group of believers, this church, had made a commitment to doing. It probably was not convenient. They were not worried about if they were going to get paid or not. And they didn't expect anything in return. They just wanted to show the kindness of God. Mephibosheth is a picture of us. Just as David demonstrated integrity by keeping his promise and covenant with Jonathan, God is that same God of integrity. He keeps his promises and his covenant. We may not be lame in both feet, okay? But we all are broken. We come before the Father as sinners. And God sees us and he continues to bring his love for us. We're broken, we're feeble, we're sinful, yet God in his deep love for us has provided a way to redeem us. His love and kindness was not convenient for him either, because he gave his one and only son to die for us, to redeem us because of his love for us. Mephibosheth ate at the king's table, and on the day of the Lord, God's children will also eat at the king's table. Isaiah 25:6, "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine." Mephibosheth was able to eat at the king's table. There will be a day of the Lord when there will be a great feast. And I'm hoping there's fried chicken there. And sweet tea. I can't drink sweet tea, but one day is going to be a day when I can drink sweet tea. David not only restored Mephibosheth to the kingdom, he provided for him and his family with a place. God, in his deep love for us, not only redeemed us, but provides us a place in heaven and a special relationship in his kingdom. Find someone today to be your Mephibosheth. You don't have to bring them to your table for the rest of your life. If you want to do that, that's okay too. But kindness is the love of God. Find someone today to show the kindness of God. Maybe it's being a friend at school. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe you just might need to just bring in the garbage can in on garbage day. Maybe you can't cut their grass. Maybe it's go get their mail for them. It is the Christians in the early church in a pagan society that made such a demonstration of the kindness and the love of God that overwhelmed a civilization that crumbled morally. It was the lives of the church, because of who they were in Christ and what Christ had done for them, that made the greatest impact. They didn't have legislators. They didn't have politicians. They didn't have an army. They didn't have people of influence to make that difference. All they had was their witness of the kindness and the love of God. Find your Mephibosheth today. You're Mephibosheth. Now go find the other Mephibosheth and show him kindness today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, and your deep love for us, Father. There is no kindness greater than has been on the cross, Father, that you have given us. So I praise you and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the faithful and everyone who's gathered here today to hear your word. Lord, help us to find the Mephibosheth in our own lives, Father, whether it's at a coffee shop, whether it's our next door neighbor, or maybe it's those in school that we're with. Wherever we go, Lord, help us to extend the kindness of God to others, to love them, Father, because you love us, even when it's not convenient, even when we can't expect anything in return. Help us to show the authentic kindness of God to others, that we might be your witnesses and demonstrate your deep love for your world and for your people, that you might be glorified. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thanks, Mark.